Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we start, I wanted to let you know that you can listen to episodes of Please Tell Me a Story ad-free by subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts. You can start your free trial now by clicking Try Free at the top of the Please Tell Me a Story show page in the Apple Podcasts app.
Hello, and welcome to Please Tell Me a Story. We've reached the end of our first season, and with season two coming very soon, I thought we'd have a little look back on the highs and lows so far. Starting with a low. A number of our storytellers had a breakdown trying to remember what they'd been told. Take Sakisa's retelling of Kai's story.
Please tell me a story.
Now, apparently there's quite a few jokes in this, but
I won't be hearing them.
You won't be hearing them.
I understand.
Okay. But what you need to know is that this story is about the first time that Kai met his girlfriend's parents.
Okay.
And what you need to know is, obviously, maybe you don't know, that Kai was in an interracial relationship, so he's the brown one.
Yeah.
And she was white.
White.
Interracial.
Okay.
Yeah. He was obviously a bit nervous about meeting the parents for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents lived in Isle of Wight.
Ooh.
Oh, I should let you know how they met.
Okay.
So they actually met not the normal way, not like how many people meet nowadays. They met the very unusual way of Tinder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a punchline.
Punchline.
That was a pullback and reveal.
Pullback and reveal.
I've seen that done before.
So they went to Isle of Wight, which is where her parents stayed. And as they were driving through to the parents' home, he was a bit worried because it felt very wickery. It felt very...
Get out
vibes. And he heard this. It felt very thisy vibes. Very, okay. Ooh.
It was raining.
It felt very... spooky, very haunting.
Okay.
Very, this maybe is not my vibe. So he's feeling a bit anxious. So he gets to the parents' home, knocks on the door, sound effect. The dad opens the door.
Oh my God, it's like I'm there.
And his dad starts saying, introducing himself.
His dad?
The girlfriend's dad, his potential father-in-law, starts speaking, and he sounds very, very, very posh.
Oh.
Very posh.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very posh, and talking not on, like, how Kai would talk. So Kai's feeling a little bit anxious. He's talking quite yap.
Is it what Ahmed said?
Let's cut that bit out, shall we? He's sounding quite posh, a bit like yas and So Carl is trying to get to know
Kyle.
Sorry.
I would love if his name changed throughout this.
I'm so sorry.
Imagine what that would do to his self-esteem. He came back in this room and we couldn't even remember his name.
Kai.
That's going to be traumatic for the boy. Because I'm telling Helen Carl.
Kai is trying to get to know the father. The father is also trying to impress Kai. And he's saying things like, oh, we're big fans of Ricky Sunak. And Kai's a bit like...
Ricky Sunak. Risky Sunak. That's his stripper name.
Fuck.
I don't know how to take it, but whenever I'm in a room with Sakisa, she starts to cry.
It's you, bitch.
Okay.
What's his name?
Rishi Sunak.
Okay. They're saying that they're big fans of Sunak.
Okay.
And Kai is a bit like, well, I'm not. Like, what now? Okay. I'm not. But they're trying to make each other impressed and it's not working.
Right.
And food is coming out. The father-in-law is bringing out food and Kai bumps into him accidentally and this happens. Sound effect? So in the end,
Don't get emotional. It's okay.
The father-in-law says to Kai, well, we really like you. And we want you to be part of the... We love to have you part of the family. Oh. And Kai doesn't know what to say because he's actually feeling a bit like, well, I don't know if I want to be here. So all he can really say is...
Sorry, is he Churchill the dog?
It was, oh, yes. So Kai is single. Oh, no. And that's how the story was.
Okay. And she's now dating Risky Sunak. Oh, no.
Oh, get me out of here. I thought I was going to have that one down.
And from one total car crash to another, here's Kai retelling Abby's surreal Dickensian tale.
Fasten your seatbelts, this is going to be one hell of a ride. Okay, come on, Kai, we can do this. Okay.
Please tell me her story started with that. Come on, Kai, you can do this.
It actually starts with, this is a story as old as time. It's a classic, according to Abby, which is quite arrogant, I'd say, a classic.
Oh, right. Is it the breaking up of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake?
Very similar to that.
Sick. Okay, I'm fully in.
So, has Christmas Carol vibes. I don't know if she said that, but... I think she did say that. So basically, there's a guy called Jeremiah Jackson, or what is... He was also known as the Florida Man, right? Some geezer, sir. I think it's his brother died. His brother died because he went through a Wendy's drive-thru and asked for a kitten and got killed or something. Yeah, no, you're going to have to bear with me. It gets way worse than this, right? And also, I don't want to be judged by this. This is how the original story goes, right? So, then what happens is some stuff happens.
To Jeremiah Jackson. Yeah. So the brother being killed.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then he's like, what is going on? And basically, I think he just wants to be famous. He wants to get on Fox News. He was basically just a bit of a prick. That's his whole vibe.
Okay.
Massive prick vibes, right?
Okay.
So basically, he then goes in...
To
something. A house, right?
This is the
also, I can see the producer just laughing in the back. Okay, so honestly, this is... Okay. Florida Man, he was also called that. So basically, get this. This is where it gets interesting. Basically, he has some sort of like... He's got his nephew called like Chad Chuckum. And this is... I asked if this is exactly his catchphrase. Was... I asked. I was like, "What did he say?" And Abby was like, "That's the catchphrase." So basically, I think his brother died or something. And basically,
something like that, or something like that.
This is way less. Okay, just go with
me. Have you read a book? This is why you tell a story.
Stick with it, right? He goes in, has like some sort of existential crisis and that, and he meets his cousin. Who's got an emotional support snake. That's an important bit. An emotional support snake.
Okay.
And then the python, it's a talking python, obviously, and was like, ugh, mental health's for pussies. Stop being a little sucker-ass bitch. That's a perf. That's a
the
perfect.
Python.
The python. The emotional support python said that, and that is the only. That's a perfect reconstruction of what I said. Anyway, think Christmas Carol. I think this ghost comes. And basically, this is the stuff. I'm doing relaying the story without all the weird stuff. This is, you're looking at me like, no, okay. I should be sectioned. This is a normal. Okay, so, okay. Right. So basically, I told you the cousin's called like Chad Chuckham or something.
Yeah,
and, the ghost. Ghost of Christmas Past, like, sees what its life like could have been in the past. I don't even remember that bit, but the most important bit is the ghost of the present comes. And basically, they go to an underwater world. And they do some stuff there. Basically, the emotional support snake is just like mugging off Jeremiah Scrooge. Yeah. And
Jeremiah Jackson.
Jeremiah Jackson, wasn't it?
That's what you just said to me.
Okay, it might be Jeremiah Jackson. I think it is. But I was just confused with the Scrooge bit. Anyway. Oh, God, then what happens? Something about a kitten getting killed as well or something.
The kitten gets killed at Wendy's.
I think that might actually not be his cousin's
not a kitten. His cousin asked for a kitten at Wendy's.
Yeah, I think so.
Fucking hell, Kai!
What I want to say is there's definitely a death of a kitten somewhere in this story. I think.
Are we happy with this as broadcasters?
I don't know if this can be out. I don't want to be like personally responsible for this.
I blame Abby 100%.
So basically, the moral of the story is Jeremiah Jackson. Jeremiah Jackson basically looks at his life and he's like, what the hell, man? And he said, emotional smart snake is there, the talking one. And he realizes that pussies are strong. There's a feminist undertone to this, right?
Yeah.
Right? He has to be a pussy because pussies are strong. And that is literally exactly how it went.
I seriously doubt that, babe. I fucking doubt it.
Let's take a pause from the retellings to appreciate our brilliant cast. Not only are they a bunch of talented comedians who can land a punchline...
So I recently developed a pretty serious and debilitating addiction to describing what a water slide is. It's a slippery slope.
And he's got a new joke about how he's afraid of water slides, because it's slippery slope.
Because it's all downhill.
Something about he can't do skiing because the slopes are so slippery. It's a slippery road.
It's some joke about slopes and that life is a slippery slope. It's some terrible punchline.
Think you're doing all right. You say a skiing joke.
Skiing joke?
A skiing joke. Oh. And apparently you make a pun on, this is a bit of a slippery slope. Audience are hating it.
They're also pretty good at nailing a catchphrase.
Even if he said things like, oh my God, you're a sweet piece of ass.
That's a sweet piece of ass.
Got a fine piece of ass.
You're a fine piece of ass.
You're a fine piece of ass.
That's a fine piece of ass.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host, created it, been doing it for 7 years. I'm Heather McDonald of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular Juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you will instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. Two episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
Cast your mind back to week one, when Omid told us a story about his uncle. Here's Abby, attempting to remember it.
We're already stuck on the year because I'm pretty certain he gave me two dates.
Great start. Okay.
I think it started in 1994.
Okay, good enough for me.
But then later, I think he said 1991. You take your pick.
Okay.
Okay, so it's 1994. I was going to a family wedding. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of cousins, uncles. There was one car everyone's trying to get into. We didn't all fit, so I went into the overflow car with my favourite uncle, Ezat. Mm-hmm. Now, Ezat was good with the ladies. Mm-hmm. He was a short, stout gentleman, pretty unintimidating. So he'd say stuff like, "That's a sweet piece of ass." Okay. And apparently people would be fine with that.
Wow.
Because they were like, he's fine, he's a sweet man.
It was 1994.
It was 1994 or one.
Or one.
Everyone was fine with it. Now, I was desperate for the toilet. Mm-hmm. So when we got to the wedding, now, it was the days of the sensor mm-hmm. flush.
Oh, the one where you wave your hand.
The one where you wave your hand. Okay. It was one of the first. It was when they were just coming out.
Wow,
right?
Everybody was talking about
it. It was like magic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a direct copy.
Nicely done.
Thank you. And so I went to the toilet. I did my business. Mm-hmm. Also a direct quote. And then I was like, where's the flush? Where's the flush gone? And as I went like, where's the flush? And I waved my hands, the toilet really aggressively just went, zoom.
She's right. Doing well okay. With the toilet. How about that hand dryer?
And I hit it once, it didn't start. So I hit it twice, it didn't start. And then I hit it third time. And then it went, right? And then my uncle was there. And he was like, look, there's some nice ladies here that I'm going to say inappropriate things to. And to do that, I need my dentures. So I'm going to go and clean my dentures. Right.
In the bathroom, he was
in
just
bathroom,
in.
In the bathroom,
okay.
I was just in.
You were just in, of course.
So my uncle came to the bathroom, and then he took a while, and then he came out, and he was like, I got no dentures. I don't know why he's gone Bristolian.
That was a powerful toilet.
He's like, I got no dentures.
Abby's doing well. Let's see if she gets the details of what happened to the dentures right.
And he couldn't get the hand dry to start. Mm-hmm. So he hit once, wouldn't start, hit twice, wouldn't start, hit third time, right?
Yeah.
It made him jump.
Okay.
Just like it made me jump.
Right.
The dentures flew out of my hand. Mm-hmm. His hand. His hand.
Yeah.
I'm multi-rolling.
Yeah.
Trying to explain this without any dentures in his mouth. And then his wife came and was like, stop hitting my husband. Maybe he's married.
Wait. Some other woman was hitting him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my mum was hitting him.
Soft,
and then some other woman was like, stop hitting him.
Okay.
And then she was really hot. And so then without dentures, he was like, that's a nice piece of ash. And then she slapped him.
Wow.
Because you should never hit on a woman without any teeth.
Okay. Oh, fantastic.
And that is exactly how it goes.
Brilliant.
Quite good going from Abby. Now, let's hear how the story developed in just a few short tellings.
Here's the deal. It's the 1980s. You're going to a wedding. Your face has already put me off. Okay, it's the 1980s. You're going to a wedding with your uncle and you are so excited. You're all dressed up and you're ready to go. And your uncle's like a real player and he's got this catchphrase that he uses on the ladies, which is, you're a real fan piece of ass. And he says it in that accent, which is the one that I was given. And he keeps on saying, you're a fan piece of ass. And he's all dressed up and he arrives at the wedding and he's like, I'm going to impress them by freshening up in the bathroom because he needs to go for big toilet, right? Not little toilet, big toilet. So he goes in, he sits down on toilet and he's ready to shit. But he realises that he's on a high pressure toilet, which I don't know what that is, but this is high pressure toilet. And he's sitting on it and he's just like emptying himself like... Right? And then as he's doing that and he flushes, assuming he's still sitting on it or he's looking back on it, his dentures fall out into the toilet basin. And he's
Christ.
Like, oh no, oh well, now they've got poo on them. Can't have teeth with poo on them because the ladies won't like that. So he goes out. toothless back into the wedding. Your face, I can't look at you.
Okay.
He goes back toothless into the wedding and he's like, you're a fan, Petri. You're a fan, Petri.
With shit all over his...
No, he's left the teeth in the poo.
Oh, I see. He's left the teeth there. All right, okay.
Yeah, because he thinks that like it's better. They're like, it's with the toilet now. It belongs to the toilet.
Oh, so he's a player, but he's going to go out and be a player without his dentures.
100%. Because he's got a catchphrase, so it's fine. And while he's doing that, you go into the bathroom because,
right.
I don't know, maybe you want to go to the toilet now.
Okay, so I go in after him, right, okay.
Obviously, like, or maybe you've heard about this high-pressure toilet and you're like, I gotta see it in real life. So you run into the toilet and you see poo's gone, there's still skid marks, but the teeth are in the basin.
And?
That's exactly how it happened. Don't look at me like that wasn't a good telling. That was
Jesus
bang on.
Christ. It's like, this is one of the most extraordinarily incoherent stories I've ever heard. And a tremendous distortion of not only my story, but of the facts. Because not only is it so crazy, it also doesn't make any sense at all.
That's what I thought. I was like, this is no way I'm going to story. This is no way.
As I was saying earlier, our cast are all brilliant comedians, but they also have many other skills. Some are actors with a large range of accents.
He said his name was Detective Duncan, in a
He says there's been a murder. A double murder.
There's been a murder on... Oh, God. On the plane.
Slightly racist, but okay.
There's been a murder.
Lorraine Kelly. There's been a murder, sweetheart.
There's been a murder.
And a varied ability to reproduce sound effects themselves.
They were so posh, they had that posh person sound. You know, with the posh condis, that...
Often the hardest role in our little game of please tell me a story would be for the final storyteller, who would have to regurgitate a mangled story back to the often horrified original teller. Here's how Sean got on telling Kai's story back to him.
Kai, this is your story, as told by Ahmed, who told Sakiza, who told Abby, who told Helen, who told me. Okay, it's a love story. You are on Tinder, which is always a great start to a story. You're on Tinder and you have a match with a lovely lady. Eventually, the time comes for you to meet the family in this dreaded encounter. But... plot twist, they live on the Isle of Wight, of all places.
Of all places.
Of all places.
The Isle of Wight?
So you think, right, we've got to make the trek over there. And for some reason, a hovercraft is your choice of transport. So you end up on Isle of Wight. You knock on the door. The door then opens.
Love a sound effect.
Oh, I love a creaky door sound effect. Oh, at the time, it was beautiful. So you go in and then you meet this lady's dad. And this man is, as described to me, a Churchill dog of a man. So I'm picturing proper gammon, I don't know, just white polo shirt. I don't know, maybe a bit stuffier than that, actually.
Right.
Old school fella. And then you start having dinner together. And this guy, the dad, just keeps talking about how much he loves Rishi Sunak or... if not Rishi Sunak, Ricky Sunak or Wishy Sunak. One of those three. He could be confusing.
Could have easily been the other two.
Yeah, for person who isn't famous and has a similar sounding name. And then, for some reason, a plate smashes. That's never mentioned again. but it's important that we have that in there.
Okay.
And then this is when you pipe up and say, listen, buddy, I don't know what you've heard. Well, I actually don't like Rishi Sunak that much, so I don't know why you keep talking about him. And at that moment, you wiped your mouth with a handkerchief, stood up from the table and said, I think I'll be off. It's over. And at that moment, you swam back to the mainland. And thankfully, you are here with us today. And that's exactly how it went.
Jesus Christ. That's got to be the worst.
be the worst.
And here's Omid's retelling of Helen's story.
Hi, Abby. Well, I'm going to tell you the story.
I'm Helen.
Sorry, I meant Helen, excuse me. Do the
please
start again.
Keep that in as the ultimate beginning of a story. Fuck up.
Start again.
Omid, please tell me my story.
Thank you, Helen. Well, this is a story that was told to me after you told it to Sakiza, who told it to Kai. Yes. I'm imagining there's going to be some kind of disconnect after Kai, because then Kai told it to Sean, who then told it to Abby, who's told me. Okay. The year is 2007. Mm. Sound effect. It's a good vibe. I'm feeling that. That to me, that's the beat of 2007. It's mm-hmm. prom night. It's prom night. It's your prom night. I asked where, and no one seemed to know where, but I presume it's Fleet, because apparently all you do is go on about Fleet.
Wow. Okay, that's mad to me, where that came from.
Helen goes on about Fleet all the time that you're from. Are you from Fleet?
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah, but like...
Apparently you don't stop going on about it.
Never even mentioned it in this room, so I don't know where that came from.
Well, it's the first time I heard it. It's in Fleet, you're in your teens, it's prom night, and you're going to go with a bunch of girls, but somehow some boys have been invited who shouldn't really be there. So you're now left without a date. You are pressurized now to have a date to go with a boy.
Okay.
You've had your eye on a boy called Chris, who you've asked him out apparently on a number of occasions, mm-hmm. and he's always said no, and it's never really happened. So you're a bit trepidatious about asking men, but you have an in with Chris's mother. So mm-hmm. through Chris's mother, you arrange for Chris to take you on to the prom. Now, Chris, he's given a stipulation that if he goes with you, that your dress has to match. His something to do with his corsage, mm-hmm. something to do with it, what Einstein corsage is, some kind of appendix or flower or some kind of appendages.
Oh, appendages. Or, I thought you meant like an appendix. Like,
some kind of appendages. He needs like flowers or something that are on his body.
Well, but it's nice to be matchy-matchy. He's matchy-matchy.
He wants to be matchy-matchy with you, and that's great. So so you go along all excited, and you have a favourite Arctic Monkeys song. You've got this music, which in your head...
That famous slow Arctic Monkeys
it's
song.
It's a slow Arctic Monkeys song. So you're imagining now with Chris, it's finally going to happen. You're going to go on a date. You're going to have some kind of slow dance and a kiss will happen.
And it's, just a kiss.
Yeah, and it's to this music, to the Arctic Man. Maybe a kiss, maybe more.
Once again to the sad Arctic Monkeys song.
Yeah, we're back to the sad Arctic Monkeys. This is what's happening. So you're going there. You're now going, you're there... The Arctic Monkeys song is playing.
You are aging yourself.
This is exciting.
Like a fucking tree right
this now, is exciting. I've heard of the Arctic Monkeys. I do believe they come from Sheffield.
Great.
But when you get there, there is no Chris, because Chris has disappeared.
No.
He's not there. Chris apparently is fingering someone. He's fingering one of your friends, possibly. Now, I thought this was an activity that was confined to the 1970s and early 1980s.
Oh, no, you can finger even up to today. Like, it's
well, that's news to me. That's something that fingering is alive and well.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
in 2022.
It's thriving, if anything.
Already, this is the most extraordinary conversation I've ever had. But, and not only.
Oh, wait till I tell you about kingering. You're going to lose your
kingering.
Mind.
Kingering, okay, yeah. Good. Well. I do know, as a therapist, there's a friend of mine who was gay, and I sent him to a therapist, and now he's rimming with confidence.
Yeah.
There you go. I just thought I'd throw that in. It's a terrible joke.
He knows what rimming is, guys.
1990s.
Oh, it'd be great if you rimmed to that really nice slow Arctic.
But Helen,
song.
This, I've been told this is the big reveal at the end, that actually Chris came out as gay. And that's how the story goes. One of the best stories I've ever heard.
I loved it.
And that's the end of season one of Please Tell Me a Story. But what story would be complete without a moral to send you on your way? If there's anything this season has taught me, it's...
Pussies are strong. It's got a feminist undertone.
Pussies are strong?
Pussies are strong, man. Pussies are strong.
Not only should he not be a pussy, but pussies are strong.
And then there's some chat about whether the imagery of the pussy in this one, if it's like, is it, does it mean cowardice, or is it actually referring to an actual physical vagina?
Stop being a pussy.
Goodbye, and see you very soon.
You've been listening to Omid Jalili, Abby Clark, Sean Burke, Kai Samra, Sakiza, and Helen Bauer. This is Please Tell Me a Story.
narrated by Polly Lloyd. The lead producer is Jemima Rathbone. The co-producer is Michael Dale. The assistant producer is Bashak Erten. Sound engineer, Josh Gibbs. Video engineer is James Weller. Production coordinator is Arshan Mohile. Marketing coordinator is Emily Webb. Assistant content producer is Jonathan Imieri. Additional production by Ben Johns, Lois Schaefer, and Abby Brock. Executive producers are Chris Skinner, Alex Lawless, and me, Omid Jalili. Please tell me a story.